Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to God's house this night. It is the already the third of our midweek Advent services. We're approaching the halfway season already in Lent and moving much closer to our celebration of Easter. Lent is all about getting ready for that celebration, that when we do celebrate Easter, we come to that festival with a fullness of joy, having realized what Jesus has done for us. It so much enhances our celebration, of course, of his resurrection. We're focusing on the word remember in the series that I'm talking about with you. Remembering is such a key part of what God would have us to do, what God causes us to do by his word. And so we hear the preaching of his word tonight, and we remember what he would have us to remember about our status as sinners, but also as those redeemed by the Lamb of God. Peace be with you all as we worship. We'll get underway as we sing our first hymn, Not All the Blood of Beasts. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds.
The upright shall behold his face.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord,
and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our psalm verses from the 25th Psalm. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame, and let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth, and teach me, For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgression. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. In this newer Lenten hymn that we will sing tonight, we are reminded not only of the crucifixion of Jesus, of course, some 2 millennia ago, but also of his voice that still speaks in our place and time. The words of this hymn remind us that the death of Jesus brought us new life and the opportunity to live as a renewed people of God who hear the word of the Lord and obey it gladly. The text of In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son was written by Christopher Idle, an English clergyman. In his text, he weaves together a number of images from both the Old and the New Testaments, including the silence of the suffering servant from Isaiah 53, and the majesty of the vision of the one who holds the stars from the book of Revelation. The melody was written by the British composer John Bell, who works the traditions of Scottish folk music into many of his compositions, such as this one. It is in the minor key. Its somber tone is a perfect match for the weighty lyrics of this hymn. And so let us join then to sing this beautiful Lenten hymn, 432 in your hymnal, In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son.
In silent pain the Eternal Son hangs derelict and still. In darkened day his work is done, fulfilled his Father's will. Uplifted for the world to see, he hangs in strange victory, for in his body on the tree he carries all our ill. He died that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. The earth is stained to us into peace. For peace he came and met its cost. He gave himself to save the lost. He loved us to the uttermost and paid for our release. For strife he came to bring us sword, the truth to end all lies, to rule in us our patient Lord until all evil dies. For in his hands he holds the stars, his voice shall speak to end
Our first reading this evening is from the book of Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter, where Moses says to his people, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have commanded your people to lay up your words in our hearts and souls and to keep them ever before us.
By your Holy Spirit, direct our ways into paths of righteousness, guided in all things by your holy word. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Our epistle reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans in the 10th chapter. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?"
So faith comes from hearing,
and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise as we are able for the verse and the reading of the Passion narrative. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you,
casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you."
Hear now the reading of the Passion narrative from St. John's Gospel, chapter 18. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now, the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and were warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denied it. And at once a rooster crowed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated then as we join to sing the hymn of the evening, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?"
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when God the mighty Maker died for his own creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face when his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. So we read about Peter's denials in the Passion narrative from the Gospel of John tonight, but now we'd like to expand on that just a little bit, a few more details from Luke's Gospel about that same account from Luke chapter 22. And we'll begin at verse 60 as Peter makes his third denial. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered, there's that word, remembered. Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's apparent from our Old Testament reading tonight that our Lord takes very seriously the matter of remembering his word. He wants us to remember his word, so much so that Moses, God's servant, commanded his people to bind God's word to their arms. And so the Jews would have these little leather boxes called phylacteries, with leather straps that they would strap to their arms. Or they would have a frontlet on their forehead between their eyes, strapped on like that. Or they would put this little leather box on the side of the door as you enter into their house and as you exit. And inside these little leather boxes were little pieces, bits and pieces of God's word. And the idea is that by binding these words to themselves and to their houses, they would never forget what God had said to them, because forgetfulness is a problem for us, isn't it? So that's one very intentional way that God had of helping his people and causing his people to remember his words. But there are sometimes also some surprising and startling ways that we might remember things, and so too in God's economy of things. Like, for example, you know, when you're at home and your smoke detector goes off, and all of a sudden you remember, oh, the grilled cheese. I forgot the grilled cheese. Or when you're out, you know, in the middle of nowhere, driving along, just tooling along, and all of a sudden you hear that little ping from your car that tells you you're low on gas, and you thought, oh, I was supposed to get some gas. Now I'm in trouble. Or we were talking this morning over at Christ Our Savior in Defiance about car alarms. You know, go out in the garage and forget that the car is locked, and you try to pull on the side door, and all the horns go off, and it's echoing around in the garage and shocks you, surprises you, startles you, you know. Well, in the gospel tonight, when that rooster crowed, something like that was happening. It caused Peter to remember the words of Jesus, but it also caused him to recognize the gravity of the sin that he had committed, his offense against his Lord and Savior. In our midweek services, then, we are looking at the way the Bible uses the word remember. And along with remembering, we always want to keep an eye out for what happens next, for the reaction or for the response to the remembering. And in this case, in Peter's case, the response when that rooster crowed is that he remembered the words of Jesus, that you will do this. And he thought about the treachery of his three denials and felt the gravity of what he had done, and he wept bitterly. But that's the way it was supposed to be. That's what Jesus was after for Peter. And that's why the thrust of our worship tonight is to say that God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. Now Peter started off that evening with very, very noble intentions. Remember when Jesus said to him, you will fall away, to his disciples, he said, you will all fall away. And then Peter pipes up, good old impetuous Peter, and he pipes up and he says, even though they fall away, you can almost see his dismissive gesture as he points to the other disciples, they might fall away, but I will never fall away. And that's when Jesus said to him, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And then Peter just becomes all the more emphatic, and he says, I will not. I will die with you rather than deny you. And then we read that all of the rest of the disciples, they were probably still miffed at Peter for that little dismissive gesture, you know, the rest of them. They all get on board and they all say the same thing. Oh, no, we will die with you rather than deny you. But of course, those were only words, and they had no power to keep their words. But Jesus has power to keep his word. So when he said that a rooster will crow, he set the alarm to go off at just the right time. The crowing of a rooster, much like we might set an alarm on our phone or on our Alexa or something like that, because this is going to happen. The denials, the desertions, the rooster crow, the suffering, the crucifixion, just as the Father had ordained it from the very beginning, And even the desertion of the disciples is prophesied by Zechariah when he said, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Now, I kind of find it interesting that Jesus chose the crowing of a rooster as the sound, the audio alert, the alarm that would alert Peter to his sin and cause him to remember what Jesus had said. Why did he choose the crowing of a rooster? I mean, he could have chosen some other sound, I suppose. Maybe he could have chosen the sound of a child crying out, "Mommy, Mommy," or something like that. And that would have alerted him. Or maybe, you know, maybe it was going to be a big boom of a meteorite that hit close by. That would be the alarm that would alert him. Or maybe it would just be something supernatural altogether, like the trumpet sound from heaven. But no, Jesus chose the crowing of a rooster, which is really interesting because there is a Mishnah, a Jewish oral tradition from the first century, so right at the time of Jesus, that it was forbidden for Jews to raise chickens in Jerusalem because of concerns about ritual purity. The concern was not for the chicken itself so much, but it's their filthy habits and the things that they eat. So, no chickens in Jerusalem, and no roosters. And perhaps the Lord chose that particular sound for that very reason as Peter's special alert, because roosters would not typically be heard in Jerusalem. And in any case, they would not typically crow in the middle of a dark night. So if Peter heard a rooster, there would be no mistaking what that crowing meant and who it was for on that particular night, that it was intended to remind Peter of Jesus' words and to show him the gravity of what he had done. You see, God causes his word to be remembered sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. So for Peter, it was the crowing of a rooster. What sound has God set to alert us to remember the word of God and to recognize the gravity of our sins and to come to repentance? Well, in one sense, you know, God does still send us our roosters, although of a different kind. There are actually some commentators who believe that what Peter heard that night was not the crowing of an actual rooster. They believe that the Mishnah about no roosters in Jerusalem would have meant there just would have been no chickens or roosters in Jerusalem, so Peter could not have heard a rooster crow, but that instead the crowing of the rooster that he heard was simply a man standing by nearby there in the courtyard who was crowing about something, maybe his great golf score that morning, or maybe the great deal he had just gotten on a new ox or something like that, and he's standing there in the courtyard crowing about all of this, and that was supposed to be the signal that indicated that Peter had sinned and to remind him of the Lord's words. it's like a woman might refer in an unflattering way to her husband, you know, that old rooster, all right? That old rooster makes all the noise, but this hen rules the roost, kind of thing, okay? So, is that what Jesus meant by a crowing rooster? Some guy standing there in the courtyard with Peter, some nameless man who's crowing about this or that? Is that what the sign that was supposed to remind him? I seriously doubt that. I doubt that Peter would have understood it that way either. I mean, besides, aren't men crowing all the time about this or that? So there'd be nothing unusual about that. All right, so he's bragging up his golf game over there. What kind of a sign is that? That would hardly be an effective way to bring to Peter's mind the words of his Lord and the gravity of his sin. And yet there is something in that interpretation of the crowing rooster that maybe can shed some light on the way God alerts us in our day to his word and to our sin. Because in a sense, I'll just say it, pastors are God's crowing roosters who preach God's law to bring to mind the words of God and to convict us of our sin and the gravity of our sin. Preachers, we read in the epistle reading, how are they going to hear unless someone preaches it to them? And I know a lot of people like to dismiss the preacher as just an old crowing rooster. You know, they don't want to hear the preaching of the law that wakes them up to the gravity of their sin any more than any of us would want to hear a rooster crowing in the middle of the night that wakes us up from our sleep. But preaching, the preaching of God's law is absolutely essential if the full counsels of God are to be preached. We all learned it in the catechism, didn't we? How God's law is a mirror that shows us our sins. And when the preacher is up front crowing about God's law, and the sound of that crowing is piercing and waking you up to the reality of your fallen condition and the gravity of your sin, well, that's he's doing for you exactly what he did for Peter with that rooster. So if you want to think of me tonight as just God's crowing rooster in this place, I guess that's okay with me. Because even though it may not be the most flattering thing somebody might ever say about me, at least I'm doing what Jesus sent me to do, just as that rooster did what Jesus sent it to do for Peter. And you may not walk away from this pastor's crowing, weeping bitterly like Peter did. But if in some small way you are prompted to think about a sin, to confess it, and to understand the gravity of that sin and how it hurts your Lord, then this old rooster has done his job. Because you see, above all else, we do not want any of us here or anyone to be among those who are weeping when Jesus returns. Better to weep now over our sins than to be the ones who are weeping when he returns and it's too late. Better that we weep now so God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. So please don't be dismissive when the pastor gets up here and he crows about God's law and our violations of his law that by which we stand condemned. Because you see, the Bible says that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached. Repentance and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand. If you think about it, when Jesus set that rooster alert for Peter, when he set that alarm, it's not because he wanted to rub Peter's nose in his sins and in his denials or make him pay for his treachery. Jesus set that alarm because he wanted Peter to be alarmed at what he had done, to see the seriousness of what he had done, so that he might repent and be restored in the forgiveness of his sins. But how could Peter receive that forgiveness if some pastor did not preach it, if a rooster did not crow and wake him up to what he had done so that he could repent and confess and flee to the mercy of God? Thankfully, in the case of Peter, he was not dismissive of the crowing of that rooster, but its sound pierced his heart and his soul, and it drove him to repentance. After which, of course, you know the story, after which came the forgiveness of his sins, when the now risen Savior met Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and had breakfast with him, and three times said to him, "Peter, do you love me?" And then Peter said, "Yes, you Lord, know, Lord, that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Three times, once for each of his denials, and Peter is restored. He is forgiven. There was no need for Jesus on that seashore meeting. There was no need for Jesus to rub Peter's nose in what he had done. The rooster had done its job. And now Jesus did his job. He did what he does best. And he loved Peter. And he forgave him. And he received him back. And he put Peter's sins away from him as far as the east is from the west. Peter's denials are gone. They are wiped off of his record. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. And in repentance, find forgiveness, full and free. And so that shrill, crowing sound of the law of God is a good thing for us, just as it was for Peter, because God has given power to the law to show us our sins, the gravity of what we have done, and to bring us to our knees in repentance. And where the harsh sound of God's law works genuine repentance in us, there also is the gentle voice of the gospel, the forgiveness of your sins, because Jesus went to the cross for Peter and for you, and shed his blood and stained the ground, as we sang in that one hymn, that we might be clean. So if you want to think of me or of any pastor as an old crowing rooster, I guess we'll take it as a compliment, especially if the crowing from this pulpit has the same effect as that rooster had on Peter that fateful night when he denied the Lord. Because it is God's will that his word be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that his people will come to repentance, and in the repentance, they will find forgiveness full and free. And by the way, on a side note, despite that, about the rooster in Jerusalem, despite the Jewish prohibition against having chickens in Jerusalem, there may well have been some roosters in town, because what you have to remember is that the Jews were not in charge in Jerusalem. The Romans were in charge, and the Romans loved their eggs just as much as we love them. Hopefully they were more affordable in those days. But there was actually a cookbook that was discovered, first century cookbook, from a first century foodie by the name of Asipius. And in this cookbook, written in Latin, there were egg recipes. One was called, if you translate it, spongy eggs with milk. And the recipe calls for eggs and milk and oil and some spices. And then when it's cooked, a drizzle of honey on top. And so they liked their eggs. The Romans had omelets and scrambled eggs, and they had quiche-like dishes that they prepared. They loved their eggs. So there could well have been chickens and roosters in Jerusalem that belonged to the Romans. So we mustn't think that that Mishnah somehow contradicts God's word. But in any case, I'll bet when all was said and done, Peter never stopped thanking God for that rooster whose crowing woke him up to the reality of his sin, made him cry in repentance, but then also eventually brought him to the restoration, the forgiveness of his sins. And so let's all of us thank God when we have the opportunity to sit and to hear God's law crowing at us. The law that wakes us up, drops us to our knees, perhaps even makes us cry in repentance, and then drives us to Jesus and to his cross to be forgiven and restored. And maybe that's part of what was behind the words of the psalmist when the psalmist said, "Lord, Lord, I love your law. I love your law because its shrill sound drove me to Jesus and his cross and his forgiveness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for every opportunity we have to hear the preaching of your word, and in the preaching of your word to hear the crowing of your law that drives us to repentance and ultimately drives us to the foot of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We plead his blood, O Lord, confident that you have forgiven us even as you forgave Peter. And we thank you forever for the crowing of the law that brought us to this recognition. Lord, let your word be preached in its truth and in its fullness throughout this world to the salvation of many, we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, having heard from the Word of God, we join our voices in response to sing the two verses of the theme hymn called To Remember, to the tune of Abide With Me. Thank you.
Call to remember in this
receive the offerings as tokens of our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus. As the offerings are brought forward, we join to sing On My Heart, Imprint Your Image.
On my heart, imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and crucified for me.
prayers this evening. We'll add an additional prayer for the family of Mary Ellen Federke, and Jeff's mother, who passed away yesterday. Was it Jeff? So we are thankful for her life and above all for her salvation and now her peace in Christ. And we remember her in our prayers, your family in our prayers. The visitation for Jeff's mother will be Sunday from 4 to 7 at Rodenberger Funeral Home. And then the service will be here Monday at 11 a.m. So peace be with you, Jeff, and all of you and your family. Let's rise together then as we go to our God in prayer. Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness,
and let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care,
and guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity,
and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten,
and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for calling Mary Ellen Federke to the knowledge of your dear Son, keeping her in the true faith throughout her life and granting her now a blessed end. We implore you, O Lord, help us by your Spirit to rightly know and to repent of our sins and so to be strengthened in our faith in Christ, that in all things we may grow up into him who is our head, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in your boundless compassion, O Lord, console Jeff and the family and all of us in our time of sorrow. Give us faith to see that death is but the gate to eternal life, so that in quiet confidence we may continue our course on earth until by your call we are reunited with those who have died in the faith before us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you, defend you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
Amen.
Go in peace as you serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down the weary one,
lay down thy head upon my breast.
I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus.